Welcome to my commentary on Peter's second epistle. This section, 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. To remind you, I need to speak again of antinomian Gnosticism. The word antinomian meaning no law. Gnosticism is a general term for a certain Greek philosophy. Antinomian Gnosticism is a subdivision of Gnosticism. Gnostics were people who believed they had secret understanding from the angels, secret knowledge from the angels. The word Gnostic is from the Greek word gnosko. These Gnostics believed that a holy God could not unite himself with an unholy human being. Therefore, there needed to be levels of angels between God and man to separate God from man. God used these angels as a source of communicating between himself and man. Gnostics, and especially these antinomian or no-law Gnostics, believed that flesh, our human flesh, was so sinful, there was no way to curve the sinfulness, therefore you just give in to the sin. That's the reason why they are called antinomian or no-law Gnostics. They just sinned all that they wanted. And they realized from their perspective that God could not unite himself with such sinful humanity. Now, the biggest problem in this thinking is that it flies in the face of the basic tenet to Christianity, and that is God came to humanity in the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. God himself was in Jesus. Jesus was God in human flesh. It's called the deity of Christ. Now, these Gnostics were trying to combine Gnosticism with Christianity, and the way they were doing it was this. They were saying Jesus was not God in human flesh, but Jesus was one of these angels, a matter of fact, a very special angel. So the Gnostics were trying to get into the church and sway the church from true Christianity to a mixture of Christianity and Gnosticism, something that the people of God have been doing since time began. That was the number one problem with Judaism in the Old Testament days. They tried to fuse Judaism with paganism. Peter was addressing this same issue to these Christians in what we would call Northwest Turkey. Paul addressed the same issue in the book of Galatians, where the Judaizers were trying to fuse a fallen Judaism with Christianity. Constantine of Rome in the 300s was trying to do the same thing by fusing paganism with Christianity. People today are trying to do the same thing by fusing Islam with Christianity or native creator worship with Christianity. It's something that seems to never end. So with this in mind, we'll go to verse 1. But there were also false prophets among the people. Now he's talking about false prophets. This is Old Testament false prophets because he's picking up on what he said at the end of chapter 1. He was speaking about godly prophets in chapter 1. Now he's speaking about false prophets in chapter 2, and he's going to compare those false prophets to the false teachers, as we will see. Peter says there were false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. And there are false teachers among us today. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies. Secretly, this is a conniving group of men who infiltrate the church and secretly attempt to introduce destructive heresies. Now, the word destructive is important, as we will see. Peter goes on to say, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them. When you see the words sovereign Lord, Lord is in respect to Jesus, sovereign, it strongly suggests deity. So we know what these heretics were trying to do. They were trying to undermine the deity of Christ, just as some are doing today with attempting to fuse Islam with Christianity or native worship with Christianity. And this is what makes Peter so upset. Because if you weaken the deity of Christ, you are actually destroying the very foundation of the faith we have given our lives to. One cannot be a Christian if he believes that Jesus is not God in human flesh. And that is exactly what these Gnostics were trying to do to the community of believers in Peter's day. The question is asked, were these Gnostics Christians or not? Some people say they were, because Peter says that the Lord who bought them, like the Lord purchased them on the cross. Well, I think what that phrase means is Jesus purchased all mankind on the cross. He didn't just purchase the Gnostics or those who are saved. He died for all mankind. So I don't believe you can use that phrase to justify the fact that these guys might have been sort of misled Christians. I do not believe they were Christians at all. They could not have been Christians and hold to the fact that Jesus was an angel. Peter goes on to say, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Peter is saying that these guys, because of the heresies they are trying to introduce into the church, God's going to get them. And the destruction of these men will be swift. Sometimes God's judgment on sin, on heretics, comes immediate. Sometimes it comes in the future. Sometimes it will come at the end of this age when the final judgment day appears on the scene. Verse 2, many will follow their shameful ways and will bring the way of truth into disrepute. The word shameful, that should always stand out, because when we see that word shameful most times in the Bible, it's got a sexual connotation. And in this case, it really does, because these people were sexually immoral because they did not believe they could control their flesh. So they believed in a license to sin sexually. So we're talking about sexual shame here that brings the way of the truth into disrepute. It makes the truth of the gospel, the truth of the Bible, look foolish. It brings disrepute to the truth. Today we are doing many things that make the truth of the gospel look bad in the eyes of the world. And I tell you that God is not happy with this in the least. Verse 3, in their greed, these teachers will exploit you with stories they have made up. Exploit. Their intent is not to just win the church over to their side, but they've got a motivation, and it's greed and it's exploitation. These antinomian Gnostics weren't just excited about spreading their way of thinking. They wanted to profit from it. They wanted to exploit people. They wanted to have a following, and they wanted to prosper as a result. I would almost put the modern prosperity movement teachers into the same category, because many of them teach prosperity in order for them to get prosperous from those they teach, and that is just not right. Peter goes on to say, their condemnation has long been hanging over them. It's like a cloud. God's condemnation is hanging over them like a thunderstorm cloud. And their destruction has not been sleeping. Like, this cloud is not a dormant cloud. It's ready to shower the judgment of God on these Gnostics. Heretics today should learn a lesson from this. But obviously, heretics don't learn lessons from the Bible. In the next section, we're going to talk about angels having sex with women. This ends this section.